leans his machine into the bend just above the long straight down to the hotel at Cregner Bar. It's towards the end of April. The weather is beginning to turn to slip into spring. When there's no wind up here, it's pleasantly warm, even in the heathlands centre of the island, where sheep safely graze and ravens greet a warning. A couple of miles back, the biker will have passed a couple of police cars at the bungalow and eased down a bit, perhaps. The police are there to persuade over-enthusiastic bikers to ease back on their right hands. Even so, the shortish stretch from Windy Corner to here offers the biker a chance to open up, particularly if there are no vehicles in front of him or her. Among bikers, there are those who will take a chance, give themselves a thrill by pushing past that line that says, beyond here, I am out of control. The steady rider will be in control, fast enough, but alert to any problems ahead. They'll be wearing the right gear, and in the right gear for the bend, to take it smoothly, without the chance of sliding out across the road into the path, possibly of an oncoming vehicle. The road is designed for racing on dry roads tyres can grip and hold. He or she will be enjoying being almost an extension of their precious machine, in control. For over a century, in late May and June, this island has thrown health and safety to four winds, and it does get very windy up here, and offered a challenge to motorcycle racers. A challenge that, for over 200, has proved a deadly one. What's the argument for staging this event? For offering in the main young men a stage to meet with triumph or disaster?
So I'd rather go and journey where the diamond crescent's glowing and run across the valley beneath the sacred mountain and wander through the forest where the trees have leaves of prisms and break the light in colors that no one knows the names of.
And the nature of the TT has changed. Once the fans offered the entertainment that made all this unique, the harem scarum on the promenade, the donuts, the wheelies, all under the understanding and amiable gaze of the white-helmeted police force.
I wasn't born to follow.
But there has been, in the last two decades, a change, and it's to do with control. The government, more than ever, sees the event as a gold mine. Whether it is in economic terms or not remains a debate. They've striven to take control, to organise, to search out financial opportunities. But in doing so, has the character of the TT been drained away, with set-piece entertainments and no-go areas in terms of the racing, and indeed when racing is not taking place, has the TT, whose exuberant nature was once truly a celebration of the motorcycle for fans, some of whom saw the actual racing as a distraction, has the TT, where once it was no limit, reached its limits?
I'll show you how they ride it, TT. Now stand back a bit, don't get too close in case it goes off.
It all starts with preparation through the winter when you're training. I do a lot of training and I find that it's more of a progressive thing, and I finally tune my mind into, you know, being on the start line at the TT. It's a long winter and you just have to train.
Ramsay's Conor Cummings, the first Manxman to go round at over 130 miles an hour. And before him, one George Formby, showing off the Shuttleworth snap in the film No Limit. This is one way racers get to know the course. This is a video of that superbike lap of Conor Cummings. For those who don't race, we can only wonder at how they keep the bikes between the hedges. I'll be finding out in a minute from one of those racers. We're approaching a remarkable milestone in TT history. The first event, not on the mountain circuit, was won at a total race average speed of 38.21 miles an hour. Now, and on the mountain circuit, and in last year's ideal conditions, the record speed over a lap has been pushed up and up and up to approaching 135.5 miles an hour. We're not far off 100 miles an hour quicker than that first race average. When the 100-mile-an-hour barrier was broken, there were perhaps those who wondered how much faster can people ride around this twisting 37 miles with its stone walls, its trees, its road furniture, etc., etc. The same was probably said at 110, 120, 130. So how does the human mentality cope with this extraordinary test of reactions? Connor Cummings.
You can't think too much of, as I call it, the furniture, because it would just slow you down. It's a racetrack, and we are tasked with going around it as fast as we possibly can. So, as I say, you can't think too much about what's around you. And I'm always on the track, I'm thinking, right, can I get this bend a bit faster? Can I brake later? Can I accelerate harder? How's the bike feeling through here? And it's totally on feel, actually. That's probably the best way to describe it, is you approach each bend as it comes to you, and you attack it as best you possibly can. I sometimes subconsciously just sit there and just drift into a lap of the TT or a section of the course, which that's just built into me, really. But it's a handy thing to do as well, because you're always looking to go faster. And I've been watching onboard footage of my last year's TT onboard footage. Again, just trying to get some tenths back and trying to improve my lap time, which ultimately leads to a better result.
Getting tenths back. I mean, you've got stone walls. Do you think I could go just a bit closer that stone wall and make it straighter?
I don't think it's getting closer. I think it's probably braking, accelerating more efficiently, and just improving my line through a particular corner. It is so, because the lap's so long, it's not like a track race, a short circuit, where you can go ploughing into a corner, and you know, if you outbreak yourself, you just run off the track and all's dandy. But you can't do it on a TT course.
Are you conscious of the walls on either side? I mean, are you conscious of the the boundaries, or is it just the road that you're thinking about?
No, primarily you're looking at the road and looking through the corners, but you are totally aware of the surroundings and the furniture, which is, if you thought too much about it, you'd be daunted.
Connor Cummings speaking to me in the coffee business he runs up in Ramsey. He had a famous spill, famous due to the web, it's been shown countless times, coming off the road on the mountain, and he took a time to recover. Racing at approaching 190 miles an hour on the road is, of course, hazardous, but the capacity of riders to take spills in their stride is quite remarkable. Last year, in an incident which naturally has had major repercussions, Steve Mercer, returning back down the circuit after an incident further on, met a course car. He is still recovering from those injuries. But on another occasion, he described his thoughts when he came off his machine.
I don't quite know what happened. I think I must have loaded the front bit too much, and then obviously I lost the front, and the next thing I know, I could see the air fence in front of me, and thank goodness the air fence was there. I mean, if the air fence weren't there, I think it'd be a different story now. And I hit the air fence, went straight down the middle of the road, and I was looking face down at the white lines going down the middle of the road, thinking, okay, this isn't too bad. Like, you know, hopefully I'm going to get away with this. And I sort of looked up, rolled over into the lay-by, and like I say, the next thing I know, within seconds, there was a marshal on me, and you know, he was dead calm, and he was just great. And then paramedic was there, and then the air ambulance was there, and then like I say, before I knew it, I was in Nobles. And you know, that's at the TT. It's amazing. We take it for granted almost. Like, you don't realise just what goes on behind the scenes, like, all year long when we're not here. And, you know, we're out there having fun, but behind the scenes, like, you guys are working so hard. And, you know, like, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Steve Mercer. Connor Cummings, of course, had a big spill on the mountain. Does he still think about it? Does he still reflect on it?
Only when the winter months are here and it's freezing and I'm a bit tight.
But when you go past that section?
Oh, no. No, I mean, I'm conscious of it, but I'm not. We're 9 years old now, since the crash. So, Yeah, it's history now, isn't it? You know, it in the same vein as focusing on the roadside sort of furniture on the track. If you focus too much on it, you're going to be slow. And that's my approach to dealing with my incident. I've dealt with it. I don't think about it too much. I focus on racing my bike as fast as I possibly can and enjoying myself.
When a bike goes past, I mean, there's lots of times where sectors before, wherever you're marshalling, somebody might have reported control that a bike might be smoking, something's hanging off it or whatever. And they pass that information, control pass it on to the next sectors to observe that bike. And then there is black flag points at certain parts of the course where we can pull them in to check them. But it's only down to the keen eyes of the marshals that notice these things, because it could save their lives, you know, and stop them crashing.
Well-prepared marshals, but making sure there are enough trained marshals and a small army, 530 are needed, to go round the course, that's a major headache. One of the people who has to solve that is Dave Dentith, who's chairman of the Marshals Association.
If a bike, when he goes past you, right, if you turn back to look at the next bike, if the bike, something happened to him, you would hear it, and you turn your head back again and you know. However, the bike coming towards you, if something's happened, you're looking at it so fast, you have to be so careful. But the most important thing at any marshalling point is a flag marshal. You know, at the end of the day, they watch everything that goes on. And the minute something goes wrong, that flag is out, and doing the appropriate flag goes out to warn the oncoming riders exactly what's going on around that corner.
You can get someone, sign them up to be a marshal, put them in the right place. They will not know, and the people around them will probably not know how they will react in a bad situation.
Yeah, you're quite right. I've been marshalling 22 years, and it still shocks me when I have an incident where I marshal. But you're trained to be a marshal, and you just do it. Do you know what I mean? You know exactly what you're doing, and you're there to assist.
But you can only be trained really in the heat of the moment. You cannot do it in a house like this or in a shed or something. You've got to be out there during the race to understand.
We do IMC courses, and what that is, incident management course, and it takes a day. And the idea of that is give potential marshals and people who have been doing it for years. We bring them along, and it does change, and it has changed this year a lot. And we bring it, and what we do, these marshals now go to this IMC course, and we tell them all about marshalling, flags, radios. We do, and then we go to the St. John's side of it, or the SOS boys, they come in, and they do the St. John's side, how we can help the rider and stuff like that. But nothing prepares you for when you're on that track, because when it happens, you have to think about the training you've had and listen to the people that's with you, and they will take you through it. It's not for everybody, but a lot of people like to help, and it's very, very important that when something does go wrong, that we all do the right thing and don't stand on each other's feet.
Outside of racing, the modestly sized Manx police force try to keep everyone safe, but there will be crashes and injuries. Time was when, unusually, the Manx police joined in the fun on the prom. I asked Superintendent Mike Maddox about that unique aspect of Manx TT policing.
I don't think it really has changed. We are still visible. We're visible on the roads, and we're visible in sort of highly populated areas, so the promenade, the back of the grandstand, and other areas around the promenade. And we encourage our officers to engage with the
public.
Does
that mean to be friendly, to be almost part of the TT festival?
Yeah. We often get comments from people that travel here and say that we're not like the police where they come from.
It makes you unique, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And we have to try and strike a really delicate balance between letting people have fun and making sure that people don't overstep the steps at the line. It can be a delicate balance to try and tread, but we have usually got it right.
Because when they do overstep, you have to crack down on them.
Yes, we do.
This image of the Isle of Man is somewhere where you can just go at any speed you like. Some people still believe that. How difficult is that for you in your policing?
Well, I mean, the law says on the Isle of Man, in an unlimited speed area, there's no limit to the speed you go. That's with
There's not many of those anymore.
Well, there's not, but there's, it's still with some restriction in that you have to drive safely, and you have to always remember what's around the corner. You know, there could be another vehicle broken down, there could be somebody else on the road. So we still encourage people to, you have to drive within your limits and drive do a speed that's safe.
So if someone is going from a 50 to 50, but in between it's unlimited, and they want a blast, basically they still have to be cautious, and they can still be had up for not being cautious.
Absolutely, yes. Because there's no speed limit doesn't necessarily mean they're not breaking other laws, like due care and attention, dangerous driving or riding.
How difficult is it for the whole force during this 2 weeks? Because it's an enormous pressure.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's all hands to the pump, really. There's no leave granted over the two-week period.
Do you dread it, or do you look forward to it, or...?
A little bit of both. I mean, usually we do look forward to the people coming over. They are, the people that come over, the bike fraternity that come and support the CT are really nice, they're friendly. People, and they just want to come and enjoy the festivities of the TT.
Do you ride a bike?
I don't, know.
So you've never wanted to?
No. No, my brother does.
The TT is not just the racing. Quite a few fans don't watch the racing. They're here to enjoy the biking atmosphere. Gradually over the decades, a form of entertainment developed which was largely fan-inspired. They took over the promenade, performed donuts on their bikes and wheelies, or they just wandered along looking at the bikes. The police were there if needed, but where possible, they adopted a very light hand. As the tradition of music in every boarding house faded, other entertainments emerged. The Bushes pub spread across the road from the Yates's building onto the Bottleneck car park. As the island for 2 weeks let its hair down and in some cases took its clothes off in the name of the TT, Summerland was used as a massive anything-goes bikers' entertainment centre. Lots of beer, strippers armed with bottles of baby oil using live snakes as part of their act. It had to be seen to be believed. But it was, in the main, very good-natured, with the bikers on their best behaviour, seemingly just happy to be here. For 2 weeks in a year, the outwardly staid island rocked. Then the bottom line started being examined. How much was the TT worth to the island? The idea was that the Manx coined it in the 2 weeks. That had been assumed, but was it in fact the case? The government started becoming more closely involved. Set-piece entertainments were organised, with rock acts brought over, accommodation organised with homestay, rows of pods appeared by the grandstand, major names in motor racing, four wheels and two, were brought over to gasp at the spectacle, and in the face of off-island criticism at the dangers and human cost, to give their seal of approval. It was pointed out that no one forced the riders to set off down Bray Hill, walking the Camgorns in winter claims lives. But came the riposte. The Scottish Government doesn't build grandstands on either side of the Cairngorm Plateau to enable people to watch. But where is the TT now as an event? Somewhere along the way, by necessity as well as choice, it's a modern world, to survive, has it mislaid its unique aspects? Is change necessary if we are to keep the TT? Spectator areas are now carefully monitored. Where once hundreds sat on the banks with their legs dangling over, there are now spectator prohibited signs. The world's greatest free show has now less areas where the fans can safely gaze. The racing is very dangerous, though it will be pointed out that there are thousands of miles of racing and practice covered without incident. But the Mille Miglia and the Targa Florio were consigned to the reference books. Is that the ultimate fate of this extraordinary occasion? Without it, the island would be a small, modestly populated finance sector in the Irish Sea. With it, and globally, it is the home of the TT. It's made an ordinary island extraordinary. So what are the government plans for the TT? Enterprise Minister is Lawrence Skelly. Attempts in the last few years to bring in a company from across the water ended in something approaching a farce, getting someone else to organise the TT. So what is the government's vision for the TT now?
Well, the TT is, as you just rightly pointed out, is part of our history, part of our heritage, part of our DNA, I'd say. And the planning of it, and I don't think anyone recognises this, you know, it takes all year to actually deliver this particular event. Clearly, it's a huge economic benefit, which is why it has always stayed from the promotional perspective in our department. But what we're looking for is a safe TT as well, of course. And, you know, when we have a successful TT, you know, it is a benefit. People do enjoy it, and it is was some phenomenal racing there last year, and it was a wonderful weather, and you know, we just hope we get the same this year.
You say it's a great economic benefit. Is it, though? I mean, it's been assumed to be an economic benefit, but there is a question mark about whether, in fact, it produces as much useful cash for the island as is assumed.
And there's been a very thorough economic assessment of that, and you know, the question is asked, you know, what would happen if you didn't have the TT? And you know, it's not just the TT, it's all the follow on from that. You've got the festival, the motorcycling, got a huge amount of motorsport, you're actually having car launches on the island and other activities. So it's much wider, and I think this economic impact assessment has been very helpful, very beneficial, to get down to actually the balance sheet, if you like, which is what you're just saying. And you know, for those people who enjoy TT, and as many of them here on the island, and of course we have all the visitors who come here to enjoy it as well.
Can you say overall the TT developed from the fans created their own entertainment down the promenade? It was famous for the wheelies and the donuts and that sort of thing. The government's become a lot more involved. Is there a sense of over-control that the government is making the TT into something like happens across and taking away that special USP the TT possessed?
Well, I think what you're highlighting there is probably the uniqueness of the TT. Hmm. There's nothing like it, as we know, because we live and breathe it there. But 36.
But less so now.
Well, when you say less so, what?
We don't have the entertainment on the promenade, but the fans really did their own entertainment. There's more set pieces being presented by the government.
It's spread around the island, I would suggest. You know, we just heard just the other day Ramsay doing their own sprint fest, you know, and their music fest. And that's wonderful, because there are a lot of people that stay in Ramsay in the north of the island. They don't have to come into Douglas for that entertainment, as you put out. We see it in the south. You know, we have bands on the beach at Port Erin, and you know, and you're seeing this spread around. Peel do their own thing too, which is great. It's wonderful, because the Isle of Man benefit gets spread, and you have simple things like TTTs in church grounds and so forth. So that's where the benefit is spread across the island.
Should the government step back, rather than seeing it as a money making operation, say to the fans, get on with it, the organisations get on with it? Is there too much control come from the government? For instance, the ticketing, etc., that's been taken over from a local firm, etc. Now it's gone to another firm, and there are complaints that it's not run quite so well, because the local firm knew exactly what fans wanted.
When we enter into these procurements, we have to do this fair, we have to do it open and transparent, and there is an element there that actually says, with regards to the local spend, and this is part of procurement law, that it can be up to 10% more than an off-island interest. But there are technological advancements, there's all sorts of enhancements, and I think that's another element that we have to consider with TT. How do we, you know, promote this message much wider and using the enhancements?
Will the government continue wanting more control, if I can put it that way, over the TT and what happens?
Well, I don't think it's a control. What we're trying to do is actually enhance the event, the experience and the opportunity.
But is it enhancing it?
Well, we just talked about the entertainment, and I would suggest that, you know, compared to a number of years ago, yes, that is enhanced. And you've got hosts of all kinds of different events, and now you've got these other events which are almost focused, and some of the travel companies are looking at, you know, the ones that people who come to the TT partners don't like the racing. But you know what? There's plenty to do. You know, even last year, TT week, I managed to take a walk on a beach in the north of the island and didn't see a soul. You know, that's the Isle of Man. You've got so much to offer, just for the race fans and non-race fans.
You have a dream audience, haven't you? They love the TT. I've never met anyone who come over who didn't have everything to say about the TT, say it was wonderful. It's a dream audience. You can't go wrong.
Well, you can, in as much that there's other events, there's other activities, and you know, how do you appeal? We know the TT hardened fans will always be attracted to the arm, but we know that there is opportunities much broader. You know, the run of the mill sport. Sports fan, you know, the bucket list. What would you like to do? What would you like to see? You know, and as I say, there are so many other things to do on the island during TT fortnight, as we just said. And then let's, you know, not forget the festival, the motorcycle, where you got the Manx Grand Prix, you've got the classic TT, and
there a stage where the government should step back and say, enough government involvement. Let's just let the thing develop by itself.
Well, we have to consider the disruption. Clearly, you know, when you have closed roads and all this activity on the Isle of Man, we're asking for a lot of goodwill from the residents, and of course there is that opportunity for those in homestay that can earn, I think it's up to £1,800 tax-free, to take a holiday if you're not into the TT.
The TT is extraordinary, but it harps back to the easier-going era of racing, the Tarja Florio, the Mille Miglia, when the consequences if something went wrong were not the issues perhaps they are today. The government is perhaps battling against so-called modern thinking in its support for the TT, but without current controls on safety, and perhaps more controls to come, the TT just might not continue, and that would leave a big hole in Manx life. Every year there's an awareness of the possible human cost of staging the event. Balanced against that is the joy the event brings the riders and fans, though some might question the entertainment in sitting by a track watching a biker perform along a limited stretch of road visible to the fan. I was privileged to be at Hillbury for the 1967 senior race. I will never forget Halewood sweeping by on what was in effect a lap of honour when Ago dropped out. Halewood had one hand off the bars. He was waving to the crowd, who in turn were on their feet, hailing Halewood. It was a hair on the back of the neck moment. But is the TT an anachronism that has a limited life? Or can the government, by bringing in controls, continue to make it acceptable as a spectacle? Can they continue to stage an event that raises the stature of the island in global terms, that makes this island somewhere? Time will tell.